Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game, sponsored by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. And we welcome into the program our good friend Jared Stillman. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I'm super. How are you? I'm all worried about you after, you know, you were out with the plague for the last couple of days.
It's been rough, man. Preds were making their comeback the other night. I was halfway dead on the other side of the arena. You have this to look forward to when your kids bring home all sorts of diseases one day. It'll be fun.
I actually said that yesterday in the program. Ian was out too. And I said, I think that this bug is coming for me maybe a little bit later rather than sooner, but it's coming.
Yeah, it's going to happen at some point. You might as well just embrace it. So, Jared, I heard you talking about Sam Darnold yesterday and solidifying the quarterback position and the kind of the approach that Mike Borgonzi could take here. I guess my question for you as we kind of start this conversation, how realistic do you think the pursuit of Sam Darnold would actually be for the Titans this offseason? Because I still have a tough time buying that Minnesota's going to let him go.
Okay, so I go back to that Chiefs trade with the Alex Smith trade in 2013, where Kansas City went into a draft. There were no good quarterbacks in that draft, and needing to, as Mike Borgonzi says, solidify the quarterback position, they went out and they traded for Alex Smith. Now, they traded 2 second-round picks for Alex Smith, and that's a little rich for me, but they traded 34 in that draft and then their second rounder the next year, which ended up being in the 50s because they were good with Alex Smith. So they ended up trading 2 second-round picks for Alex Smith. So I keep throwing out the idea of trading 35 for Sam Darnold straight up. Now, Matt Coller, who covers the Vikings and has covered the Vikings for a long, long time, I asked Matt Coller, I said, would Minnesota do 35 for Darnold? He thinks they would. You know, again, I don't know what Alex's contract situation was in San Francisco, but Darnold does need a contract. So if Minnesota were to trade him, that wouldn't just be giving up the player and getting the pick. It would also be giving up the $40 million commitment or whatever it ends up being for 1 year of Sam Darnold. I asked, would they be interested in trading McCarthy? Because I'm thinking McCarthy, 2 knee surgeries. Darnold's become their starter. He's 28 years old. Would you trade McCarthy at 35? Because I'd rather take McCarthy at 35 than take Ward or Sanders at 1 and then be able to take a good player or trade back out of 1-1. And he told me they are under no circumstances trading J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy is their guy. So if J.J. is their guy, I think 35 and then probably a 4th next year, which I'll get in return when I trade Levis 5 minutes after this, I actually think that's kind of fair, and the reason being is Minnesota's giving up 1 year of Darnold to go to the quarterback who they used the 10th overall pick on, and they're getting 8 years of contractual control of 2 other players, you know, with the second round pick, which is a very valuable pick, and the 4th round pick next year, which is not as valuable, but again, still 4 years of another player eventually in the 4th round. If you look at Minnesota, they're gutted as far as picks are concerned. I think they have their 1st round pick and like their 7th round pick, and that's it. So I've thrown that out there. The amount of Titan fans that are, oh, God, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do 35 for Darnold. And then Jason Fitz was on the show yesterday, and he was like, Minnesota's not going to do that. So everybody's told me that this trade has no shot of happening because the Titan fans think 35 is too rich for Sam Darnold. And Fitz thinks that I had 2 guests on the show yesterday, Fitz and TD. And Fitz said Minnesota's not going to do it, and TD said hell no, as far as 35 for Darnold. Well, when both sides, you know, have an issue with something, then it's usually a pretty fair trade. So I go back to this. The word he keeps using is solidify. And what solidifying the quarterback position might mean to you and what it might mean to me and what it means to him might be 3 different things. But if Alex Smith is solidifying the quarterback position, which he said on DVD they did with Alex Smith, if that is solidifying the quarterback position to him, then Sam Darnold, who has almost identical stats through the first 7 years of his career to Alex Smith, that's probably solidifying the quarterback position to him. And if that's the case, I think it makes the most sense, more so than using number one on one of these 2 quarterbacks or, you know, bridging your way with Justin Fields.
How many times a day do you do the no, no, Jared, no, Jared. Like, how many times a day do you do that? Like, at least, like, 20 times a day.
What are you talking about?
Like, Titans fans are like, no, Jared. No, Jared. Do they really say that? Do they really scream at you like that? Or is that just you screaming at yourself in their head?
The entire Rancarthon administration was, no, Jared. I mean, you don't understand. He doesn't need to be at the Senior Bowl. The general manager doesn't need to be there. You don't understand.
I mean, I gotta say, I'm a big fan of your Borgonzi impression personally.
Oh boy, it's a rough.
Vingan was like, I don't know if I can do 5 more years of this. I said, I don't know if you're gonna have to worry about 5 years. The way things work around here, you might only have to worry about 2. But with Borgonzi, I keep going back to that whole solidifying the quarterback thing. And he said in the interview on DVD that the Chiefs, the first thing they did was they solidified the quarterback position with Alex Smith. If Alex Smith and Sam Darnold are basically equal through the first 7 years of their career, you may not like solidifying. How are they not equal through the first 7 years of their career?
Look, it was a disaster for Alex Smith early with the worst team. He was obviously the first overall pick.
Was it a disaster for Sam Darnold in New York?
Yes, but I would argue that Alex Smith's performance for more than 1 year by the time he got moved was definitely better than Darnold. And I'll give Darnold credit for this year. I mean, the last 2 games were brutal, but I'll give you credit. I'll give him credit. It was good. It was encouraging. I would argue that there's a decent gap between, and you can sit here and throw me the 7-year numbers if you want. I don't care. Alex Smith, for multiple years, it started to look like that guy or more like that guy for the Niners, whereas, you know, we're talking about 1 year here with Darnold.
I think you're just making crap up. You're just saying, for starters, I mean, again, most people thought Alex Smith, and you have to remember the biggest thing about the Alex Smith knock was who he was compared to, you know, with what he was not doing in San Francisco and what the guy who they could have drafted was doing in Green Bay. I think there was a lot of that. I mean, Alex Smith, throughout his tenure, here you go. This is Alex Smith in San Francisco. 2-5, 7-9, 2-4, 5-5, 3-7.
Yeah, give us those QB records. Give us those records. That's a QB stat. I love that you think it's a QB stat.
13-3, and then 6-2 and bench for Colin Kaepernick. So, to your point, Joe, he had one good season. He had one good season before being benched for Colin Kaepernick. And he was good at not turning the ball over in San Francisco. He had one season in San Francisco with a quarterback rating above 90. I mean, again, I kept talking about Sam Darnold's 2022 season, which I know you don't respect my opinion, even though I am more right consistently than
you.
Ask Gentry, Ask Gentry about Sam Darnold's 2022 season in Carolina, where he went 4-2 as a starter and had a higher QBR that year than Aaron Rodgers and completed 8.2 yards per attempt. Sam Darnold was a changed man the second he got away from Bozo Adam Gase and Bozo Matt Rhule. And so I think that, I mean, again, their stats are incredibly similar, including their record, their quarterback rating. The only thing that is significantly different is Darnold has thrown for a lot more touchdown passes than Alex Smith has in his career. Again, the first 7 years, basically the exact same ages. I mean, it was not viewed as the Kansas City Chiefs were acquiring Manning, Brady, or Ben when they acquired Alex Smith. And they weren't acquiring Manning, Brady, or Ben. But it would have been better than using the first pick on EJ Manuel, who was the top quarterback in that draft. So, again, you are telling me this, you know, my feelings tell me that Alex Smith was better 10 years ago in San Francisco. And that's
Jared just coming with facts over feelings. Yeah, Jared, facts over feelings.
Is that not
feeling,
what just
baby.
Happened?
I mean, sure, dude. You skew everything for whatever.
I give you stats. God bless TD, because I love TD with all my heart. But I love TD, and I brought up the fact that, again, I'm looking right in front of it at the career stats through the first 7 years between Alex Smith and Sam Darnold, and it is just convenient. Okay. The first seven years for Alex Smith.
That's fine. Jared, we'll say you're – Jared, that's fine. You can be right, okay? See, this is the problem is you – you suck up oxygen on some stupid little thing. The bigger point here, Jared, is if they have a priority of getting more draft capital, then how does this help this stated goal that Brinker gave everybody the other day? You can say, fine, Alex Smith is whatever. Darnold's better. That's fine. You can have it.
I'm not saying Darnold's better. I'm saying they're the same. You're saying Alex Smith is better based off your feelings. I have the stats in front of me that are almost equal. Now,
take it over.
I'm going to answer your question.
I can't.
I'm going to answer your question with what you're about to say.
Okay. Yeah. The
number one thing Mike Borgonzi said.
I really missed this.
The number one thing that Mike Borgonzi said is that they have to solidify the quarterback position. And again, reading the tea leaves, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe draft capital matters more to the Titans than solidifying the quarterback position. The Cleveland Browns in the mid-2010s with Sachi Brown and Paul DePodesta and those guys, they were more worried with Brandon Whedon and Johnny Manziel and all those bozos they had at quarterback, DeShone Kizer. They were more worried about collecting draft picks than they were solidifying the quarterback position. Then John Dorsey showed up and immediately took Baker Mayfield with the number one pick. I believe that the Titans value solidifying the quarterback position over the draft capital that Chad Brinker was talking about. I still think they want draft capital, but here's the other thing. If you were to trade 35 for Darnold, and now you have Sam Darnold and you give him a four-year contract and you're paying him, I don't know, $40 million a year, what can you then easily do with the number one draft pick?
Well, you trade back.
Bingo! So now you've got more draft capital. So, again, I understand the idea of trading a pick is, but you're not trading a pick for some crap bum. You're trading a pick for probably a between 11 and 17 quarterback in the NFL, which you desperately need.
All right, 60 seconds on this one, because I'd be curious to get your take on this. I know we've got another 3 months to figure this out as well. Let's say the Titans can't trade back, and they're stuck at number one overall. How many players in this draft do you think are worth the number one overall pick?
Probably zero. I mean, maybe Hunter. I don't think Carter is. I think Carter is a good pass rusher in a class. Like, he's in a normal draft, he's probably like the 11th pick in that draft. I don't think he's what they thought Will Anderson was coming out. He's not Lawrence Taylor coming out of North Carolina. That's why the generational talent comment that Chad Brinker made, which I was in the room for, and it did not feel like a serious, you know, statement from Brinker when he said, like, of course we're not going to pass on generational talent.
Apparently Schefter was in there too, got the scoop.
Adam Schefter, I mean, he ran with that. And, I mean, he's on Boston radio saying, that is bad news for the Patriots that Chad Brinker said that. I'm like, yeah, I don't think Abdul Carter is a generational talent. You know, I hear Blake Bedingfield talk about him. Like, yeah, you know, he's fine. And so I if you're stuck at one and you have to pick, I mean, I guess I take Hunter. It's hard for me to say this right now when I don't know, you know, who's on the team. But I guess I take Hunter. Because I think he is the best talent in this draft, and I would play him at wide receiver, Joseph. But again, this is not a good draft. But hey, if anybody's got experience with this, it's Mr. Kansas City with the Boston accent, who, again, 2013 is the hallmark for a bad draft. They had the number one pick in that draft, and they walked away with Eric Fisher, who was a good left tackle, which, again, I think Eric Fisher and Alex Smith was making the best of a bad situation, and that might be what the Titans have to do here.
Jared, wonderful to hear from you again. Appreciate you taking time to be with us as always, and we'll be listening at 2 o'clock today.
I expect listening to Joe make an analytical argument for why Alex Smith was better over the first 7 years of his career than Sam Darnold.
We'll see if we get that. We'll see if that happens on the program here today. Thank you, Jared. Jared Stillman, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what Jared had to say there. Coming up next, take your thoughts on all things Titans. We will also get into the wonderful dysfunction that is the Jacksonville Jaguars later this hour as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. You know, when you're on the precipice of death, like I was the last couple of days, I think what really cures me is coming back and listening to you two talk about sports. It was beautiful.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful when Jared thinks that, like, Jared will come up with some concoction, some idea, and then he – wow, I'm sorry, Jared. I didn't compare Alex Smith and Sam Darnold's careers before we talked. Jeez, how could everyone not have done that? My God. But
a
if you want to get in
minute run.
Yeah, but if you want to get into the Alex Smith Darnold thing real fast, again, it's like it just sucks up the oxygen. You know, Alex Smith, he says he was benched. As anybody would remember back then, he was concussed. They were 6-2. He was third in the league in passer rating. And Kaepernick came in and was incredible. And so when Alex Smith was ready to go, Harbaugh went with Kaepernick. And I mean, it's hard. I mean, Kaepernick was incredible all the rest of that season. Smith was 19-5-1 under Harbaugh. And the year before, if you want to compare Alex Smith and Sam Darnold, I don't think Sam Darnold went on the road in the playoffs and blew out a team with 299 yards and 3 touchdowns, nor did he play in the NFC Championship game, not turn it over, throw 2 touchdowns, and watch his team botch a couple, you know, muff a punt and lose a game to the New York Giants they shouldn't have lost. So basically, Alex Smith played football to lead a team to the Super Bowl and watch the special team screw it up. That's nothing like anything we've seen from Sam Darnold. But again, this is like a little side argument where Jared gets into a little fantasy world, like, oh, let's do this trade, which of course will never happen, but we can spend all day arguing about it. Then it becomes like, oh, you know, let's dig in on this Alex Smith Darnold comparison. It's close. I absolutely think that Alex Smith was a better player at his best, but before and also as early times with Kansas City than we've seen from Sam Darnold. You tell me, Robbie. And facts over feelings, Robbie. Facts over feelings.
Better player. I would say the year that Darnold had this year is pretty darn close. Like it's pretty. They're pretty similar. I would.
No,
agree
he was
with
really
you
good
that,
this year. He was really good.
I would agree
year.
With you that we saw it for longer with Alex Smith than we've seen it from Sam Darnold.
And we saw it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's and look, I'm sorry, man, but Darnold, the way he played in Detroit, yes, they were all over him, but man, he did not play well. He had throws. Though despite all that pressure, there were open guys and like the best receiver in the league, and he didn't make the throws.
Yeah, he's brutal in that game.
And he was terrible against the Rams. Terrible. And that's, you know, again, you can compile all the stats, and that's fine. I mean, I do agree with the idea that Darnold with the Jets, it's hard to judge any of that, and that you saw definite steps forward in Carolina. But I want to see someone play well in the most important games.
Would you give up 35 to go get Sam Darnold? Let's forget the fact that I still don't know that this is overly likely because – I think Minnesota's got a pretty good quarterback situation right now. Let's say they did make him available. Would you give up 35 to go get him? Do you think that's enough to land him?
Well, if it's not enough, then I'm not talking to them anymore. I'm not like my first instinct is no, it's just too valuable. But I agree on solidifying quarterback. I guess my question would be, he mentioned Justin Fields. You know, if you had Derek Carr or Sam Darnold, I would take Sam Darnold last year, right, over Derek Carr. But I'm not totally convinced that there's a big difference based on everything we've seen from those two guys. Is there?
I don't know if there's a huge difference. The problem and what I would worry about from Sam Darnold last year is there's no Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, or Kevin O'Connell on this team, which could be a huge problem. Just a huge, huge difference between here and in Minnesota.
Right. So, look, I'm not like absolutely no. I don't think I feel like the Vikings, as much as they clearly like JJ McCarthy, that's you'd have to have a lot of faith to you know, when you have a season like this, you'd have to have a lot of faith to be willing to turn that over.
I agree.
When he's coming off the ACL, man. So I have my doubts. I mean, I don't think this is going to materialize at all, but it is fun to talk about. But yeah, I'm not like 100% no way. I think Darnold for a few years could certainly be better than a lot of outcomes.
Yeah, if you told me that there was a realistic chance to go get him, then yeah, I would certainly consider it. Would I give up 35 for him? I mean, look, if I scouted him and I felt like last year was more of what he is, then yeah, I'd probably give up 35 because you're solving a problem at quarterback, which is still the most important part of this. Now, is Sam Darnold a Super Bowl winning quarterback? I don't think so. But how many of those are available this offseason? I would argue probably zero. So that's kind of in the eye of the beholder there. But it, like if you went through your process and you felt like he was like last year is what he is and he's not just a product of the situation that he was in Minnesota, then yeah, I'd probably do it. I still have my doubts that it ever gets to that point.
Yeah. It won't happen, but it's fun. Thanks, Jared.
615-737-1025, our phone number. How about those Jacksonville Jaguars, baby? Liam Cohen was out, and now apparently he's back in. Trent Baalke's gone. We'll get into the dysfunction that is the Jacksonville Jags coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll continue to get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30 here on the program today. A couple of us had pretty good weeks. One of us did not in the competition. We'll get into that coming up at 8:30 as well. Joe, how about those Jacksonville Jaguars? So Liam Cohen, apparently, has been their number one target throughout this process. And he basically turned him down the other day with the intentions of going back to Tampa Bay and continuing to be their offensive coordinator. And Trent Baalke was, I think, behind the scenes, and I heard you guys talking about this with Charles Robinson yesterday too. Big reason why, and it was not exactly a secret, that coaches and prospective coaches around the league, not exactly thrilled about the idea of Trent Baalke remaining there with Jacksonville, to the point where apparently Shad Khan made it clear in some of the interviews, Joe, that, hey, it's not necessarily a prerequisite that Trent Baalke has to be here moving forward, which is just a great setup to have in the interview process there. Well, the Jags move on from Trent Baalke, and, Joe, now it's circled all the way back to Liam Cohen is going to be the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. This has been really weird. It's been a really strange process that's played out in Jacksonville. What do you make of how this thing has all ended up with Liam Cohen heading to the Jags?
What the Jags are going to jag, okay? Jags are going to jag. It's amazing, the whole thing, and the fact that they couldn't, you know, contact Liam. Like, really? Like, and then he's like, apparently called Todd Bowles. Oh, hey, I didn't see you called. Oh, man, I just kind of, you know, I'm just in Jacksonville, just hanging out for the day. If Khan just, you know, done it like a normal owner would have done it, then it just would have been simple. The Bucks would have been, hey, congratulations, Liam. You know, good for you, and, you know, this is what happens. But instead you have this complete bleep show, and the Bucks feel jilted. Here's the thing with Liam Cohen. First of all, my mind does go to Will Levis. Will Levis
That's
to the Bucs.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Will Levis to the Bucs, maybe as a Baker's backup. I think that's something to
– Or the Jags.
Think about. Or I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, yeah, what am I talking about? I'm sorry. See, I'm confused about where Liam Cohen is working next year too. Yeah, how about to the Jags as Trevor Lawrence's backup as Mac Jones gets a starting job in Tennessee? How about that?
Yeah, how about it?
But Liam Cohen – so Liam Cohen, first of all, in Kentucky, certainly huge part of Levis's success. Levis's best season was with Cohen as his OC. Let's also remember that then he went to the Rams and it did not go well under Sean McVay. Yep. They were one of the worst offenses in the league. It was Matt Stafford's worst year. And so, you know, look, obviously he gets a ton of credit for what happened this year. They did have, you know, like Baker's been good. They have one of the best offensive lines in the game. And it's wild how quickly people can rise and fall in this league. So it's going to be super interesting to see how he does there. But, like, it's 1 year. It's one good year in the NFL. Let me read Diana Rossini's tweet. What changed for Liam Cohen? So the Jags told him, they called him directly, said they'll let him pick the GM and would pay him, quote, Ben Johnson level money, per sources. So like they just said, man, we're giving you the world, your own GM. You'll be at the top of the pay scale. Please come be our coach. Again, after one good, definitely good, but one really good year as an OC in the NFL, which balances out one bad year in the NFL. And this is what happened. So I just look at the whole thing, and again, Jags are going to jag, man. That's all I got for you. Jags are going to jag.
Well, the thing is,
probably won't work out.
Well, you say that, and I think I'm with you. But I think they probably inadvertently gotten rid of their biggest problem,
well,
outside of ownership, which is Trent Baalke. And like the fact that this is like it took this to get him out of there. Like we talked about at the time, like when they fired Doug Peterson, it's like, oh really? So Trent Baalke is about to make like his third coaching hire here. That's awesome. Like what in the world has he done? And I know, you know, Shad Khan made that comment where like, this is the most talented roster we've had. It's like, well, first off, no, it's not. Go back and look at that team in 99 that Titans fans around here are very familiar with. But anyway, besides that, it's been an awful tenure from Trent Baalke. So like, I think they've actually gotten rid of their biggest problem here, other than ownership, which you can't get rid of. I just don't know exactly what Liam Cohen is going to be. Look, I'll throw this at you. Like, this is now two consecutive offensive coordinators in 2 years that old Bake, the Bake Show, has gotten into head coaching jobs. So apparently he's just like the next farm system for head coaches in the NFL.
Right. And I will say the last guy, it looks pretty good, man.
Did pretty good.
Yeah. Last guy looks pretty good. So I don't know what that means. Because you could look at it and say, so basically Baker Mayfield healthy now and is good again, as actually he was good in Cleveland. People just didn't notice, or I don't know, or forgot, or maybe, you know, Todd Bowles just has an incredible knack for picking OCs. But I think you're right. Inadvertently, the Jags may have actually done themselves a big solid here.
Yeah, like it's, you know, this is what, like, if I'm a Titans fan, probably gives me a little bit of hope moving forward here is you're bad right now. You're awful. Your ownership has got as many questions around it as anybody else right now. But I mean, there are some teams in your division that can give you a run for your money, right? Like Jacksonville is just an absolute tire fire. Indianapolis with Chris Ballard apparently having like the, you know, hidden immunity idol that you find on Survivor there. Like they can't get fired. And they never puts together a good team, but somehow can't get fired. Like, so you've got that going on. And, you know, Houston is a good team, so you've got them to contend with. But, there are a couple other teams in your division right now that are pretty wildly dysfunctional on top of it.
Well, WB in Thompson Station says, let me get this straight. A Tennessee Titans station making fun of the management of another NFL team, as in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, they are a mess. But seriously, well, WB, first of all, we're not a, quote, Tennessee Titans station, but
we are not.
I think we've made maybe a crack or two at the expense of the Titans. I don't know. I can't remember.
We've probably done that.
Seems like, yeah. I mean, is it okay every once in a while to look around and point and laugh at other people? Is that okay?
Yeah.
I think it's healthy.
Got a texter that points this out. Orlovsky says the Titans should trade for Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we did just discuss the Sam Darnold part of it. But apparently Dan Orlovsky saying the Titans should trade for Trevor Lawrence. Okay. There you go, Joe. Solves all the problems.
Well, I need to know, like, what did Orlovsky say they should trade?
Surely to God he's not talking about the number one overall pick.
Or is he talking? Does he think that Liam Cohen loves Levis that much?
Well, if that's the case, then I might do that. Oh, well, that's a lot of money to pay Trevor Lawrence.
It is, but that would solidify, right? They'd be solid, good, pretty good, decent at quarterback.
Decent, yeah, I think so.
Decent, yeah. You're
kind of, well, you know, I always leave some room. Now, granted, I realize what I'm about to say is talking about the Tennessee Titans, so I don't know if it's the best example, but like, you know, the Sam Darnold, Geno Smith thing, like with the Jets, it's like, okay, how much of it was them being awful, and how much of it was the Jets? Like, I do start to wonder about that with Trevor Lawrence, too. How much of it is he's just straight trash, and how much of it is he plays for Jacksonville?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fair question. I mean, he's had.
Look, don't get me wrong. He's nowhere close to living up to what he was supposed to be, regardless of the situation.
No, for sure. He hasn't had great teams. He's had decent. You know, he's had decent talent around him, but it's like him. It's all been okay. So I don't know, but he is not going to be what he was supposed to be, which was like when his draft, it was like, oh, this is one of those every 10 years you get a quarterback like this at the top, and I don't care where he is. That's not happening. My feelings.
Ben from Cumberland City says, Robbie, you're crazy about Ballard. He signed numerous good free agents and draft picks. If we fire general managers and coaches, we'd look like the Titans. Well, I mean,
what do you look like?
Should you like approach winning the division at some point if you've been there for 9 years as GM? It's just a thought. I don't know. That's just my thought on it.
I mean, obviously the Titans are as low as it gets right now. So
yeah, I get it.
If we're going to compare those two, sure, you could say, hey, we're better than them. But like, really, the duration of like he's gotten a lot of credit. He's been called the best GM in the league. He's been applauded left and right for things he's done, and he's signed some good players. But the totality of his tenure, it's incredible he still has his job.
Jake in Greenbrier says, you guys have been criticized for not criticizing the Titans enough, criticizing them too much, and now criticizing other teams. Pick a side, LOL. That's what we do here on this program. It's, you know, we enough criticism to go around for everybody.
Yeah, maybe we should be more critical or maybe less critical. I don't know. I'm very confused now.
There are people saying that Orlovsky was talking about the number one overall pick. Yeah, it's not happening, boss. I'm not trading the number one overall pick for Trevor Lawrence.
No, at this point, because with that, the money that you're taking on for pretty good QB play, I can't do it, man. Can't do it. Now, you know, is Trevor Lawrence in his current state better than any of the QBs in this draft are ever going to be? I could buy that. That may be, but also that's why trading out of that pick and loading up is attractive.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. The game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You could take Borgonzi and all these guys over there and say, yeah, well, they all jumped on the Patrick Mahomes gravy train and toot toot and all look like geniuses, you know? I mean, you could look at it that way too. And they started the whole, oh, yucking around with Terry Bradshaw forever ago, right? Right. It is way too many voices, and it's very stale.
You are telling me this, you know, my feelings tell me that Alex Smith was better 10 years ago in San Francisco, and that's
And just, Jared just coming with facts over feelings.
Is that
feelings,
not what just
baby.
Happened?
The ever-expanding file of Nick Kieser continuing to grow. It is that time of the morning, time for the Rex Rant here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Before I get into the main topic, you know, it's also funny. I think Jared did this whole thing so he could avoid the two things he didn't want to be asked about today, which were the two things that Karski blasted him for, one of which was he saw the bro hug between Borgonzi and Callahan and was like, and looked at Jill Jelnick and was like, that must be the first time they've ever met. That was awesome.
I heard about that.
And then what was the other one? See, I've forgotten the other one, but it was also pretty funny. Oh, the whole, they're going to pick players independent of Callahan. This is the, yeah, Brian Callahan, you sit over there and we'll let you know who your quarterback is, buddy. And you're going to coach that quarterback up. And we'll let you know who your right tackle is. You tell your dad. Yeah, we'll tell you. We'll let you know, Bill. Okay? And then we'll all you go coach the team and we'll pick the players. Yeah, that's how it's going to go. But today, I'd like to introduce a guest to the show. Look at this sweet boy. Look at this sweet boy. Gussie, say hi. Yeah, Gus, you're on camera. Look at my sweet boy Gus, okay? I am bringing Gus into the program today. Because, first of all, I'd like to remind you and everybody, I did not want Gus. I did not want Quinn. But we got Gus and we got Quinn because everybody in this house overrules me. And who walks the dogs in this house? Who walks them? There's one person. There's one of five. Well, okay, four. I'll take Jack out of the mix now since he's up at Michigan State. There's one of the four here who walks these dogs, and it's me. I am the one who understands that these dogs need their exercise and they need to be outside and be free. And also, that's when they go to the bathroom and not go to the bathroom in the house. But I'm bringing Gussie on today because I found a new development in the terrible care of dogs in the Rex Road household. And I look, I mean, you look at this sweet, but you can't blame this guy for anything. Come on.
No.
You get mad at this guy? You're not getting mad at this guy.
Big Gus.
But I saw yesterday the first time a pee spot in our bed. And this is a line that had not been crossed as of yet. And I don't know if it was you, Gus. Frankly, it was probably Quinn. And she does not, you know, she's the more likely culprit here. But all I know is that's ridiculous. That's a bridge too far, okay? Stepping in puddles, stepping in turds, you know, these things happen. But finding it in the bed, we got a real problem now, okay? So if it was you, Gus, I want you to apologize. Go ahead. Look in the camera. Come on. Get close right there. Was it you, Gus? Was it you? Probably not.
Looks like the face of innocence to me.
Yeah. This is terrible pet ownership. And again, I love these dogs. I would never, you know, that's what happens, right? You know, I don't want a dog. And some down the road, I'm going to say no again. No, no, no. Because first of all, you fall in love with these things. And then, like, you know, I don't want more grief in my life. There's already enough grief as a human being. But
I got morbid.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm sorry, you know, like I think about these things, maybe because I think about my own mortality at this advanced age. But my God, man, let me tell you, let me just bring this to everybody. If you're going to get dogs and your kids beg you for dogs, then they better damn well walk the dogs and do all the things to make so that you don't have pee spots in your bed. Thank you.
I feel like the crossing the line into peeing in the bed from the dogs is really kind of the first sign of intentional disrespect. Like that's when they know that they own you. When you're going, I think intentionally in the bed. This is new territory for you. I'm kind of scared of what might come next.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but maybe you're right. It's just like double middle pause. Whatever, bro. I can do whatever I want.
Hey, maybe you guys can go egg houses, Joe, like you bragged about over the summertime.
Well.
Did I say that I was going to go with Gus to egg the houses?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Yeah. Well, maybe I can, you know, buy eggs for my kids and be like, hey, you have free reign to go egg houses, but the catch is you have to walk the dogs while you do it. What will they choose? I don't know.
Dennis on the text line says, poor Gus, publicly shaved live on camera. He looked innocent the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's cool. And again, I can't believe it's him. I guess next time I'll bring Quinn on here. And she is not the face of innocence, okay? Like, it's probably not this guy. Look at this guy, right? But it's probably Quinn. And honestly, there's never been any semblance of control over Quinn whatsoever. So, but like you said, like, yeah, maybe that is a sign of disrespect. It is new. It's new territory, and it just brings up again the whole, you know, we have all these friends with dogs, and they're just, oh, yeah, they like ring the bell to go outside and go to the bathroom, you know? Yeah. Like, why was this so hard for us? Why could we not figure it out?
My dog, like, literally talks to me, just starts yapping when it's time to go outside.
I mean, it's everywhere. And yet we can't figure that out. Why? I'll tell you why. Laziness.
Get a bell, man.
C from Franklin on the text line says, Joe, I'm disappointed in your family members for leaving you to be the one to pick up dog eggs around the house. You just had a lobotomy, for Pete's sake. You need your rest. This is from C from Franklin on the
Thank
text
you.
Line.
Let's look at my wound.
Hey, the wound looks pretty good, only being 4 days out.
Yeah, it's getting better. It's scabbing up. which good. Is kind of gross, but still, it's better.
Just glad you're still with us. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.